not many years ago. Yeah, come on, laugh with me. Hey, listen, I was thinking about Wednesday nights earlier today. There's some churches I went to. I didn't want to go to church on Wednesday night. I'd go, and it was like eating cornbread in the desert. Hey, man, I'm serious. And you'd think sometimes, man, it'd been better if we just stayed at home. So it's kind of the way I come at Wednesday night and Sunday night is I want the content to be so good that we kind of mess around with the people who don't show up and say, hey, man, you're missing out. So I really do believe some of the Wednesday night stuff is probably better than the Sunday morning stuff because it's, I don't know what it is, but it just is. Oh, let me get back to my kid story, 2 Kings 18, verse 1. Where I grew up was in Oakwood, Tennessee. Most of y'all know that. I lived on the back of a horseshoe road. The road was shaped like a horseshoe. Now, listen, I'm from East Tennessee. I'm from Polk County, so everything's real simple, okay, basic. I lived on the very back of a horseshoe. The road came out on both ends, right? Somebody had started out the venture of building a house. If you went out of my driveway and took a right and went around the first curve of the horseshoe, right on the immediate right was a house. Somebody was going to build a house, and they had dug the basement out for a real deep basement and never finished it, thank God. And what had happened is this became what was known in my neighborhood as the Red Hills. Do you know why? Because they were red. Red clay. Sorry. Very simplistic. I'm just telling you, we were not very creative. In my same hometown, we have towns like Turtle Town, Duck Town, and Copper Basin. Okay? Copper because there was copper, turtle because somebody seen a turtle, and maybe because somebody seen a duck. Okay? All right. So anyway. Red Hills. And somebody had dug this foundation out, but we began to ride bikes on it when I was just a kid. And man, there was some of the most amazing hills and jumps within this little circle, right? There's this hole. I'm going to take you in. You come off the curve, you go into the Red Hills, you go over a little hump, and you go to the right, okay? We're going to go to the right. You go down in this little slough, and you come up, and you're on the top of a hill, and you come down the other side, right? There's a big curve, and it goes down in a dip and back up. And you go around, up another hill, and you come around, and then you got to exit. Y'all want to go riding? Kind of some. Now, there's like 20 different jumps and hills and different kind of levels to this thing, but I just took y'all around the outside of it to let you know about basically what it looked like. But there are some things in there. If we just focused on them, I could probably count two scars that are on my body because of this place. There's a couple of places where I should have scars. I had broken noses and busted noses and, you know, skint elbows and wrecked bikes. But I just wanted to take you around the outside of it, okay, to let you know kind of what it was about. That is what we're going to do tonight in the message. I'm going to take you around 2 Kings 18 and 19 to help you. At one point, I thought I was just going to do a message on what the enemy sounds like. And then God was like, no. And then he kind of said, yeah, we can do some of that. And then what it's like to be a believer in going through some stuff with God that's scary. And then what God does, right? The title of the message is Then God, okay? And I'm just going to hit some kind of right around. There's some jumps and there's some really cool stuff in 18 and 19. We're just going to go around the outside, and there's some really cool stuff on the outside. And I encourage you to go back and read 18 and 19. But I was thinking on a Wednesday night crowd, most of us in here are believers, hope, on our way to heaven, and we got saved, and we need to know more than just, I'm not going to hell, and I'm going to heaven. Amen? I mean, I know, don't get me wrong, I love a good message on hell. If somebody's preaching on hell, I'll support them, I'll pray for them, and I'll preach. Amen. But every message can't be there. Amen. And every message can't be heaven because we got to live in this world. Wednesday night. Okay, I think I set y'all up enough. 2 Kings 18, y'all good? Are y'all ready? Are you ready to get, man, I hope y'all get this because I really don't, being honest with you, I don't even know if you'll like this. I don't even know if it'll affect you or not. But it affected me so much that I just wanted to hear it out loud. Y'all ready? Let's just jump into Word. 2 Kings 18, 4. 18 and 4. I want y'all to see this. 18 and 4. And he removed. Now, this is Hezekiah, okay? Hezekiah, he becomes king. And he removed the high places. 2 Kings 18, 4. I'm going to slow down and be a normal human being. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces and brace the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Can you believe that? They took that brazen serpent, remember, that was lifted up in the wilderness, that was a direct representation and appointing to Jesus Christ, if I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me. But they began to worship the method over the Savior or the Creator. Amen. It's very, very possible. He trusted, verse 5, he trusted in the Lord, God of Israel, so that after was not, really, really focus on verse 5 with me, okay? Do you have your Bibles? Look right at them. I want you to see this. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Do y'all see that? He had no reference point, and he had no ending point. Hezekiah comes on the scene, and there has been one wicked king after another wicked king, and even when there wasn't a wicked king, there was a partially wicked king. But Hezekiah came on the scene, and he said, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to do right by God for myself and for my people. Listen, I hope I'm doing a good job at this right here. I want y'all to get this. Relax. It's Wednesday night. Just get this right here. I want you to get it. You do not have to have a holy spiritual background to serve God. And you don't have to measure yourself by what other people done for Jesus or God or didn't do. Y'all good? Oh, y'all good? And, ooh, it's even better, you don't have to measure up to how you're going to finish. That sounds weird to you, but I want to hear this. Sometimes you're on such a, Hezekiah was on such a different trajectory that I guarantee people would say stuff like this. We've never seen this before. We've never experienced this before. Where do you think this is going to end with you? Are y'all good? How do you expect to land this thing? Amen? You've took off good. You've destroyed all the wickedness and gotten rid of all the idols and cut down the high places. How are you going to maintain this? And what does it look like when it ends? Because we've never seen it. Just because nobody's ever seen it doesn't mean you don't do it. Y'all get that? Goodness gracious. I wish I could feel this in my spirit. Church has been done the same way for so long, and it's just cookie cutter stuff. And the minute you say, we're not going to do it that way, people, how are we going to do? I know we're going a different direction, but how does that end? Well, it ends well if God's not in where you were. When Hezekiah started, God was against the people. He ushered in the presence of God. God was with him. So don't worry about how it's going to end, and don't compare yourself to how it's going to end. Whew. I hope that probably didn't, that little juncture right there is probably not making as much sense to you as I want it to be. But listen, sometimes I'm the world's worst. I feel like, man, we're doing so much stuff different. What do I compare that to? You understand what I'm saying? You know what I compare it to? God. You understand what I'm saying? If I'm lined up, if we are lined up with God, then it doesn't matter if it looks so much different and so much radical and so much, and it doesn't matter how it's going to end if you're still lined up with God. Does it make sense? Hezekiah's just saying, I don't know either. Some people ask me, man, how are you doing that? I just don't know. I'm just going to keep doing the same thing that God wants me to do. I don't care if 500 show up or 15. I just know, all I know is if he gives it, I do it. Does that make sense to you? That's the way you got to look at it. And you don't have to have, man, I wanted to, man, Hezekiah is so awesome. He just rolls up on the scene and he says, you know what? It ain't working. What we're doing, it ain't working. And I was born for this time. And guess what? We're going to do everything differently. Man, that's a lonely place. But it's a powerful place. Hezekiah done so much of, guess what? He started bringing peace to all of the land. He kicked out the Philistines. God started building him up. He's building his kingdom up. All of a sudden, he started replacing some things that had been lost. And man, at first, it was amazing. Everybody's like, man, this is the right way to do. Why? Because he got lined up with God. But guess what? That also brings an enemy to his path, right? The king of Syria. Let's look at this. I want y'all to see it. 2 Kings 18:36. Let's not do 36. Let's go up to verse 30. 2 Kings 18, verse 29. There's so much there. I'm sorry. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Okay, the king of Syria comes up after he's had a few years, maybe 5-10 years of just kind of peace, and he's done it right, and all of a sudden the devil ain't happy, the world ain't happy, so they're going to tear it apart, and they come up, and Syria, let's just say it the way it is on a Wednesday night, there are some bad dudes. God is using them to judge not only Israel, but the whole world, and they're just taking one kingdom down after another, and there's nothing stopping them. And all of a sudden, even though Hezekiah is doing the right thing, and he's had a lot of prosperity, and a lot of great things happen, God has challenged his reign with an enemy that is for real, okay? And all of a sudden, that enemy comes up, and he says, listen, don't let this king, don't let this leader lead you in such a way that you will falsely follow God, huh? And trust in him more than you trust in what I've done to everybody. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear it? Do you do that? I know I do. Sometimes I do that. I'll be spiritually strong and going with God and wow, God's good and God's doing. But the minute I run into some turbulence, you start reading the credits or the biography of the enemy over God. Y'all hear me? Let me give you a little bit more. Verse 30. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not unto Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present and come out to me, and then you eat every man of his own vine. Oh, this gets so good. Y'all mind if I spend a little time here? Okay, yo, two people don't mind. All right, the rest of you just on the ride. Every one of his own fig tree, and drink every one of the waters of his cistern. Listen to verse 32. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil, of honey, that you may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. No, did you hear what he said? No, y'all got to, I'm sorry. Just let me spend this a little time here. I'm sorry. We just come off. We're riding on those red heels, and I had to take y'all down to this one little jump, okay? We'll just go down there and jump it, and we'll come back up to the top. We'll keep riding. But all of a sudden, the enemy speaks up, and he says, listen, don't let Hezekiah trick you into trusting God and that he can deliver. This is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to let you, if you give me a present, that means recognize me as superior to your God and to your king, then I'm going to let you drink of your own vineyards and eat of your own vineyards and eat of your own bread for a little while. And then I'm going to take you, golly, I wish I would get this right here. Then I'm going to take you to a place that's like yours. There's a problem there, ain't they? You're leaving out some information. If you're taking me somewhere that's not mine, then therefore you are a slave owner. And I am a slave to you. And you're wanting me to realize that the bread and the olives and the vineyards is just as good of ours. Golly, I wish y'all get this. We're living in this. This is America. Hello? All you have to do is give up your freedom. And you can have it given to you. What's the problem with somebody that can give you everything? Y'all get it, right? Say it. Go ahead. Thank you. Amen. If somebody can give you everything, they can also say one day, you can't have it, right? Whew, that's a big deal, right? And listen, the king is making this, he's making this big, boastful thing. And listen, what have any of the gods of the nations delivered, verse 33, all the land of the kings of Assyria? And I love this. Let me give you the verse. Jump down to 36, please. This is where I was supposed to get back on the trail, right at the top, riding around the Red Hills. But the people, y'all see that right there? And I'm sorry if this is disconnected. At the same time, I'm not. But the people held their peace. Ain't that cool? Wait a minute. Hezekiah wasn't there. These are the people that are kind of formed the army. They're forming the protection. They're standing out on the front. The king of Assyria is making this proclamation through his people. They're having a delegation kind of. They're pushing information back and forth. And guess what? They say all this, and man, you know the people's knees have kind of got to be knocking. Because they don't have a whole lot of people. They don't have a whole lot of defense. That they have ran and depleted their country down to nothing. And Hezekiah has come out up out of nowhere. And they're just now starting to get back. And all of a sudden Assyria, who's a world dominator, comes on the scene and says this. And you know their knees are shaking. But look at verse 36. And I just came to told you, just to tell you this. Sometimes it's better just to shut up. It's a kind way of saying it. But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. A fool uttereth his whole mind. Amen? Amen? A wise man keepeth it until the end. You can look like the wisest person in the world sometimes if you just don't say anything. Amen? Ain't that cool? They're sitting there shaking in their boots. They're on the front line. Their leaders told them, don't answer. And I guarantee you somebody in there is going, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Because he's kind of jabbing them all the time. But they didn't say a word. Man, that's so good. That's so good sometimes. Even when you're scared, listen, don't say a word. I'll go ahead. Let's get spiritual. Let's jump all the way in spiritually. The devil can't read your heart. God can. Sometimes the only reason the devil knows how to wear you out is because you told him so. You opened your mouth and said, this is bothering me. This made me mad. This hurt me. I feel like this is happening. Shut up. Sit there and just trust God even when you don't trust God. You're just sitting there going, I'm scared, but I ain't saying it. I don't know if I can trust, but I ain't saying it. Because I've got a leader, and he's trusting God, and we're trusting God, and we're going with God. Ain't that neat? And I'm giving y'all some good stuff. I want you to see it. Look at this, 2 Kings 19, and it came to pass, verse 1. And it came to pass when the king Hezekiah heard it. Yeah, verse 2 Kings 19, verse 1. It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered him with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Amen? And he sent Eliakim, which was over the house of Shebna, the scribe and the elders of the priests, and covered sackcloth to Isaiah. Covered with sackcloth to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. Y'all ready? Can I give y'all a preacher dig real quick? Can I? Are y'all ain't going to be mad at me, are you? Well, if you are, just tell everybody but me, okay? Two people laughed. I think it wasn't funny, Kevin. It wasn't funny. All right. All right. So let's what happened. Hezekiah rips his clothes. That's a sign of distress among the Israelites and Jews. They shouldn't have done it, but they did it. What he was saying is, I'm so distraught. I'm not a king. I'm not nothing. God, we are a mess. I don't know if I can even trust who I am. And all of a sudden he said, but he made, Hezekiah always does this. He's a wise man. When he's broken, when he's a mess, when he's hurting, he always turns to God. Send for anybody. But what he did is, he said, go get Isaiah. Isaiah talks for God.
and we really need to know what God says. Y'all good? But listen, let's go to 2 Kings 19, verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, y'all see that? I know we're jumping some places, but we're still riding the top of these red hills, okay? And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria hath blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. Holy. I don't know if y'all like King James sometimes, but I like that. It's kind of a man thing. I don't know what a blast is, but I guarantee you it ain't fun. No, sorry. Behold, I'll send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by his own sword. Y'all want my preacher dig? Don't get mad at me. And if you do, I don't know what to do. Listen, just don't get mad at me. A lot of people never hear the first message. They never hear it. You'll be going through something, you're struggling with something, you're hurting with something, and all of a sudden God will show up and he will blow you up with an answer. He will blow you up with a word. He will give you something that you're sitting there going, he checks every box that you got going on, but somehow, some way, you just don't hear it. You might even do one of these numbers. Well, I wish so-and-so was here. They really need to hear this. Right? But it's checking every box for you. For some reason, they don't read. Isaiah told him. Isaiah flat out told him, listen to me. He's blasphemed me. I'm going to blast him. Y'all get it? But guess what happens? It's like Isaiah never said that. You go on and study this, I promise you. It's like that. It's like he never said that message. It was like he never got the message from God. It was like, okay, go get the prophet. We want to hear a word. What do you got? And you give it, and it's like, whoosh. You ever been there? Listen, you ain't got to tell me yes or no, but let me be honest with you. I've sat through some counseling before. And they come in on Monday or Tuesday, and you're sitting there and they're going, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. I'm like, where were you Sunday? We were here. Were you here? Because that message was spot on. Amen? Don't get in a rut. Don't get in a place where you're just coming to church for a worship and a word and to get out. Listen, because the word can only be for two reasons. Something you've been through or something you are going to go through. And if you ain't going through it, praise God, take notes. Because it's coming. God just don't put on these things for nothing. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had a message and you say, man, that really don't apply to me at all? 2 weeks later, you're like, my goodness, I wish I'd listened better. Amen? I love this. Let me go back to my notes real quick. Then God's. Go to 2 Kings 19:14. 2 Kings 19 through 14. Let's make sure this is where it is. This so disjointed of a message. This is not my typical way of doing it, but I really don't care, right? Tonight, I just wanted y'all to get all this. Now, therefore, Lord, O God, I beseech thee, save us out of this hand. Hey, no, go back up to 14 or something there in 14. I want to show you. I told you it's disjointed. Don't listen to the tape of this. It's going to drive you crazy if you're like real orderly. 2 Kings 19, verse 14. Is everybody with me? Listen to this. All right, he had the message that he was going to send a blast on him and he was going to turn him back. He's going to hear a rumor and all that, right? Well, then guess what? The king of Assyria, the enemy, he puts it on paper. Y'all good? He writes him a letter, a scroll, right? Okay, if the enemy can't just keep... You know the enemy turns the volume up on you sometimes? You know how he does? He gets louder than God and louder than you, and you're going to die. You're going to die like your sister did. You're going to die like your mom did. You're going to die like your daddy did. Anybody? Okay, he turns the volume up, right? Well, if somehow you block that out with the spiritual earphones or whatever the case may be, and you begin to praise God and you get a word from God and that kind of satisfies you for a little bit, then guess what? He'll put it on paper. He'll make it official. Is that all right? Okay, he'll show it in the x-ray. He'll make a doctor say it. Oh, golly. You'll get up and feel it. You'll get up and sense it. You'll get up and have it spell. Come on. I'm going to keep saying stuff till you say amen or something.
put a mirror up under you to, are you alive? Are you good? He makes it official. So what he did is he comes along and he says, all right, you don't believe me, I'm going to write it down for you. Just in case you don't know, don't trust in God. We're going to kill you. We're going to destroy you. We're going to do this. Man, he gets real graphic at one point and he says, I'm going to kill all the men, period. He says it funky. I ain't going to say it, what it says, but he says, every one of them would pee against the wall. I'll just put it that way. I don't know why they put it in there, but it's just the truth. Amen? He says it that way. He says, one of them pees against the wall. I'm going to kill all the men. You know what they're going to do? They're going to scare every family. Because every wife needs a husband, right? And every family needs a son at that point, because you couldn't have an inheritance without a son. So what the devil was doing, he was, God, I wish y'all get with me on it. You know what the devil was doing? He's screaming into their lives, you've got no future. I'm going to end you. Everything you count on, I will destroy. Has he ever done that to you? Okay. He sends that letter to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah forgets the message that God is going to send a blast. You don't believe me? Look at verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. God, what a man of God. Some of y'all need to learn how to do this. He just went up there and went, I can't do that. You're going to have to deal with that. I brought this up here to you. This is a big guy problem. I rolled a scroll out. Here's what the enemies wrote down. You say one thing, he says another. Then he made it official and put it on paper. There's the diagnosis. What are you going to do? Amen? Jump down to verse 20. Whew, y'all good? Then God. Y'all right now? Then God. This is the title of this message, then God. All right? That's not what it's about. I'm just saying this is the point where God says, you got an enemy, you got a believer. And God says, all right, you rolled it out before me. You put the problem on my table. I'll show up. Isaiah speaks for God. I want to show y'all some cool stuff. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah saying, this is the second message, by the way. Sorry. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. My God. Whew. We could have a time. Could you worship right there? Whew. I don't really, sometimes I don't really care if God answers the thing the way he wants me to. I just want to know I'm heard. Amen? I mean, I just want to make sure that, I mean, I know everything he's doing, he's in control, and everything's working to my good, and I know I'm saved. I would just every once in a while like some acknowledgement that it's in the courtroom. Oh, come on. This is the word. My God, this is so good. If I have a fit, somebody else try to finish this mess of a message. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning the virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised thee, and they laughed thee to scorn, and the daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Verse 22, whom hast thou approached? Reproach and blaspheme. Question. God asking questions. And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? Whew, no. God took it personal. If y'all remember, he was talking to Hezekiah and Hezekiah's people, which is God's people. But then God, when he, God, y'all help me preach. God sends it back to Isaiah and said, you have messed with my people, and the person you're messing with is the Holy One of Israel. It's me. Call him. Man, if y'all don't ever get excited about stuff, this is God. I'll give you a visual. This is God putting you behind him, stepping in front of you and saying, you got to deal with me. Golly, I don't know if, man, I don't know, but that makes my blood pump faster. I like it sometimes to know that God just says, I can get over here and get behind me. They're not fighting you. They're fighting me, and they don't stand a chance.
Goodness gracious. I'll say it again. The Holy One of Israel. That's God. By the messengers thou hast reproached the Lord and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof and for the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodgings of his borders and into the forest of Carmel. Watch this. Verse, now look, that he was telling them what he said he was going to do, what the king of Assyria is going to do. What, listen to what God says. This is what I... This is so good. It's a big God. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet I have dried up all the rivers of a besieged places. Y'all didn't get it. Have you ever seen a kid splash in a mud puddle? Have you ever seen that? What God just said is, and I want y'all to get a visual of this, think about the Mississippi River that goes from Tennessee into Arkansas. Amen? God said, my foot's so big that when I put my foot down, it'll dry up all the rivers. Holy bum. That's, amen. If you don't know it, the Syrians were big on their rivers. They had the Euphrates and the far, far river were huge rivers, and they come into this big tributary. God said, If I put my foot down, I'd dry up your water, man. Goodness gracious. Never mind. I dry up all the rivers of besieged places. Verse 25. Hast thou not heard long ago? I have done it. and of ancient times, and I have formed it. What are you saying? I've been around a long time, and I'm undefeated. Not one army's ever stood up against me and won. Not one time. Amen? Whew. Right there, he just throws his weight around the beast. He says, I'm the Ancient of Days. Amen? I've been around, and ain't nobody ever stood withstood me. God, you need to know that. Listen to this. Now I have brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of a small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, as the corn blasted, therefore it grown up. But I know the abode and the going out and the coming in and the rage against me. So I know I'm going to stop right there. Listen to what he just said. He just told the king of Assyria, he said, I know where you sleep. Man, God's pretty cool, ain't he? I know where you abode. That means I know where you rest. I know you're coming out, and I know you're going in. I could take you out anytime I wanted to. Amen? Let's jump over. I want y'all to see this. Verse 34, and we'll be done, I promise. Just want to give y'all some encouragement to see how this ends with God. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake. And for my servant David's sake. He's still blessing because of David. Just want y'all to know that. Verse 35, y'all ready? Watch this. This is so cool. This one, and I promise I'll end right here with this. Just letting you see it. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 145,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. And you worried about what? Serve God, even if you ain't got a heritage of God. Serve God, even though you don't know how it's going to end. Listen when God speaks into your life. Listen the first time, listen the second time. Bring your problem to God. And then watch God deliver. Hezekiah didn't do anything in his whole life other than trust God. I'll just be faithful to God and see how it works out. I don't have any blueprint, foundation, or any kind of leadership. They were wicked before him, and they were wicked after him. He just said, I'm going to do it different.
Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? I'm going to trust God, even if I'm the most different person in the world. And then you get to watch God deliver in one of the coolest ways ever. 145,000? That's a big army. Could you imagine when they got up the next morning and looked around and realized, man, God's against us. You know what he did? He went home. You know what happened? When he got home, he got killed. Just like God said way back when they sent for the man of God the first time. Hey, Isaiah, we need you to come down here. God said, he's going to hear a rumor. He's going to go home. He's going to die by the sword. Amen? Ain't that cool? I don't know if y'all like this kind of stuff, but on a Wednesday night, I want to leave here knowing if I put all my trust and my faith in God, one man, one woman can make all the difference in the world. God ain't wanting a bunch of people to go with. He does want a bunch of people, but he don't have to have everybody doing it. You can get up in the middle of the wickedest family. You can get up in the middle of the wickedest county, the wickedest state, or the wickedest country and say, you know what? I'm tearing some stuff down, and I'm putting God in control. And let's see how it turns out. And just see how it turns out. Let's all stand.